Dave Moore on Today FM.
He's one of Ireland's and the world's greatest ever footballers. One of Manchester United's greatest ever footballers. 12 years at Old Trafford, 118 caps for the Republic of Ireland. Trying to be cool. Ladies and gentlemen, it's John O'Shea. Hey, John.
Brilliant, Dave. Thanks for your introduction.
Not at all. There's a question in from Simon straight away. It says, will you call him Sir John? John, I called Gary Neville Sir Gary to his face. I don't know why. I couldn't control myself when he came in and I just called him Sir.
I can't believe it. If it was David Beckham now, I might have said, you know,
he's
what I mean?
Actually
David,
a sir.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Or Sir Roy Keane, maybe. Or, but yes, I don't think Keane Roy might turn it down, maybe.
Yeah. Probably true. Probably true. How's everything going? You're like, life is good. You're obviously working with the Irish team. We find you kind of now, maybe, is there a bit of downtime now? Or
a little bit, yeah, a little bit. But the boys are just obviously getting going again. Pre-season games are starting, and so the next few weeks we'll be back out keeping an eye on the squad.
See, that's the thing, I suppose. People think of the international management as kind of like, it's only when there's a game coming up. But it's not.
An easy,
like,
easy one.
But I suppose, yeah, it's one of those things where probably, okay, yeah, minutes on the grass is different because you're not obviously coaching them week in, week out. But you have to be on top of everything that's going on, not only with you, but with the opposition you'll face and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, like, without a doubt. And obviously, there's some camps going on at Abbottstown as well for the underage teams as well.
And would you guys be, you can be across that as well?
Yeah, I'll go out to that in August for a couple of weeks. We pop out and do a few of the sessions and stuff and help out. But in the main, it's keeping an eye on the squad
the
and
top squad. Yeah, yeah. Actually, I'm going to Abbottstown tonight. There's a meeting about the under 13 girls. So we're all involved in different ways, John. Now, come here. You're here. This is amazing. You're here because there's going to be something called a Heineken 00 Star Bar. It's a competition to turn one lucky football fan's gaff, basically, into the ultimate football fan HQ. So the stats around this are brilliant. Like, lots of us don't know our neighbours very well. But the idea is that football is going to bring people together.
Exactly. And listen, Susan Levy from Kildare is going to be very happy because she's going to have to get to know all her neighbours.
We'll give her a round of applause already. Brilliant. So she's getting the treatment.
She's going to get the treatment, yeah.
Okay, so what kind of stuff is going to happen? I mean, we're talking like big screens, like, you know, refreshments, fun, snacks.
Exactly.
Bring everybody around.
She'll get to know everyone, and obviously she'll have the full hit from Heineken as well. So 0-0, they'll be looking after her very much so.
That's such a good idea as well. And football does that. Like, I mean, I found we had a barbecue yesterday with a family who wouldn't be massively into football, but what do we all talk about for the entire thing? In fact, by the end of it, my missus was saying, I'll send
favorite
you a video.
Or games,
yeah,
or
that.
Goals or whatever.
Yeah. But she was saying to her friend, like, her friend just would not watch football, but saying to her, I'm going to send you a video of Messi's 100 best dribbles. That's how they left the conversation. But football does, sport in general does that, doesn't it? It brings people together in a different way.
Ah, listen, without a doubt, especially the major tournaments, I think as well. I think they're the rings that when it's on, you can't basically turn on the TV or listen to the radio. They're talking about the games going on, etc. Yeah. And that's what brings everyone together.
Well, let me ask you this question that came in then from Willie. Does John think the performance of Pico Lopez in the World Cup for Cape Verde means the Ireland setup should look at the League of Ireland players more?
Ah, listen, we do anyway. Mm. And you can see from the last latest squads that we have, that we had,
the League of Ireland boys that we had in it.
And we're obviously, we get to a good few of the games. Obviously, they're playing in Europe now as well. Yeah. So, listen, the level is increasing, and the more players we have, the
competition. Like, people forget though as well. Like, the competition for places in any national squad is wild. And Pico, in fairness, would be now probably at the other end of his career at this point. But even if it was 6 years ago, he'd be going up against lads who are playing Premier League football.
It's the most competitive area of our squad.
I'd say centre half
is at the minute. Yeah. You know, we're leaving guys out in the sense that are playing top level championship.
Yeah.
One or two lads, obviously, that. And like you mentioned, Pico, listen, I have to give him a big shout out because it was incredible following his story this summer too. And credit to him and his family and Shamrock Rovers. They've done a brilliant job developing him over the last few years. And he went and done the business on the world stage, and hopefully there'll be lots more to come for Pico, hopefully.
There definitely will, and we'll keep an eye on him. Plus, I mean, the interviews he's done the punditry he's done. He's so eloquent and so smart and so clued in about football. John, I better give your family a shout out because I know they're listening. They're on their Hollybops.
Yeah, they are, Iman and the kids. They're just over in Portugal at the minute, so they'll be listening in. Big fans of the show for a long time.
He says all the right things.
You know that.
I do, in fairness, I do. Big hi to Iman, yeah. Graham's got a question for you. Dave, can you ask John, does he ever stop and just smile? Remember the time he nutmegged Figo when he chipped Almunia against Arsenal in Highbury? A pure United legend. Do those things crop up? Because often when I talk to sports people, they're either in the midst of their career or they've just retired and they've just released their book or whatever. And time hasn't passed enough for them to kind of get a sense and the scope of what they achieved. Do you have that now in them? Or are you still, because you're still involved in football, is it all still one big journey?
I suppose, yeah, it is still one big journey, like you mentioned, but because of the age of the kids now and their friends and stuff, because of YouTube, etc.,
they see bits.
These things pop up, and they could talk about, oh no, you played so many games, or you did this, or you're proud of all your Ireland caps and playing in major tournaments for Ireland, and then they'll go, yeah, but you're not Meg Figo, are you? And I kind of go, oh, it's one of those things. It is what it is, but I'd rather they mentioned, oh, what about the day
the medals, the Champions League.
They talk about a nutmeg, or they talk about a chip against Arsenal. But listen, they're amazing moments too, because you realise actually the level that you're playing at and where you got to as well with your career. So,
and do you see
special.
Yeah, no, because look, you're still a United fan, I'm sure, but like when you're watching so much football and you see someone score a goal or do something, whether it's for United or anyone else, because you're that bit removed and haven't retired, you can kind of see, oh, that's such an important goal. But then when you think back to that goal against Highbury, you think back to those goals against Liverpool, like they were so important at that moment. But then for you guys, to quote the famous Keane, it's your job. So you're just moving on to the next game. You're,
totally.
You don't have that sense. Yeah, the mindset's just next.
Exactly. You have to move on. And that's the key and the beauty of it, because you had a game probably 3 days later or a week later, whatever
against
it was.
So whoever else. Like,
exactly. Yeah, whether it be a Champions League game or a cup semi-final or whatever it was, we were lucky we were competing at that top end. It was great.
Yeah, the Figo nutmeg still is pretty special though, John. Terry has a good question. Dave, as a fellow United fan and John is a United legend, I'm interested to know your feelings on us possibly moving from Old Trafford after last week's announcement, albeit apparently only 350 metres, but still moving. Terry's not a fan of that. I mean, obviously you will have had so many special nights in Old Trafford. There's no doubt that it's a special place. But do you kind of understand the necessity to grow that stadium and the fact that it physically cannot grow because of a canal and other,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think the club would have kept Old Trafford. Mm. I think the mechanics of what the size they needed to get it to, physically, I don't think it was possible. But obviously the train line and the canals as well. So, listen, I totally get it. And if they do, by all accounts, they have the sites, they have everything ready to go. But I think everyone kind of wants to see it kind of
what's actually going to play out.
You know,
if you look at the other clubs around the world who've done this, and they've lost some of the magic and some of the special history of a ground like Highbury, Goodison Park, City moved to Stockport and all that, whatever, you know, like there's, you know, these things happen. Real Madrid have done their stadium. Tottenham Hotspur, like, just completely turned the corner around, but it's not White Hart Lane. So, but then you look at what that platform gives the club, and it's future proof for maybe another 100 years, and maybe it will change again. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Yeah, I think I think ultimately it would have been weighed up, the pros and cons.
Yeah.
And I think they've probably felt it's going to be a regeneration of an area too. So
wild amount of housing and jobs
and
everything.
Incredible,
yeah.
And redevelop it. So that would be a major part of, I suppose, Trafford Council's and the club's idea behind it, to have an amazing stadium, but also regeneration of an area and give employment to an area too.
Wembley of the North, as they're saying. Tell me this. Michael Carrick is somebody you play football with, somebody you know very well. Since he took over and things have gone so well, what do you think it is about him that has allowed him to do what other coaches have struggled to do? Now, proof will be in the pudding when he has a full pre-season and a full campaign. Obviously, he took over, you know, United were in dire straits and took us to an unbelievable height from where he started. But having done so well, what is it about him, do you think, that these players might respond to that they didn't with other brilliant managers?
Yeah, listen, I think when you've obviously met Michael yourself a couple of times, you'll know he has a calmness about him, but he also has a conviction, and he knows exactly what he wants. He'll have a way to tell the players, and he just has a good way about him. He's a good person.
Yeah.
He's a good fella. But that can only get you so far. Ultimately, you have to have the right ideas, the good tactical awareness, and the confidence, I suppose. And Michael has that. When you think of him as a player, he has a coolness and a calmness, but he also has that clinicalness of finding a killer pass, finding a killer moment, being decisive, making a decision, sticking to it. And I think when you bring that, all those key aspects together, I suppose he gives a confidence to a group of players too, and he has a care and touch too, and I suppose the modern day player probably needs all of that.
And his son JC and Kai Rooney, Wayne Rooney's son, signed their scholarship contracts this summer, which is amazing. Obviously so did a lot of other players, but just they're the high profile ones that we know from when those lads are coming up. And I mean, like, you know, that kind of, I guess, integration into the club maybe is something that we don't really think about. But if you think about the fact that, like, he's been there throughout the whole time when he wasn't involved in coaching. He was there because his young fella was coming through the ranks in the academy, and he was, himself and Wayne, was even told a story with the two of them having a kip in the car because they're waiting on the lads. But like, those guys bleed the red of United, and that's kind of who you need, isn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think that's why, straight away, listen, you have to play Man City and Arsenal in your first two games, and you go and win those two games. And then you kind of get that momentum, but also you have to back it up, because it was every game afterwards was, oh, he's got to win this or he's got to win that.
And it never stops. Well,
and listen, they've got Champions League football back, like you mentioned. They'll have bigger tests to come this season.
Yeah.
But Michael he'll be ready for it, and I hope the club are able to back him as well over the next few weeks with one or two, three or four, maybe more signings.
So, well, speaking of which, John, who's a Villa fan, says, lads, have you both heard that Tielemans might be heading to United? I'm devastated.
Well, listen, he was probably Belgium's best player over the last few weeks, wasn't he?
And so good for Villa without the injuries.
He's done brilliant in the Premier League the last years, but let's wait and see. He's definitely, possibly Villa have to sell as well.
Well,
too,
that's it, yeah. But I always think until they're holding the jersey with their names on it, let's not. And even then, things have happened where people have held the jersey with the names up, and they still haven't gone. So, listen, best luck with Ireland as well. I think it's really important. Like, I think what's happening there with Heimer and everything, and your involvement, like, I think the buzz around the team, I mean, obviously, we didn't qualify. It was heartbreaking. You know, whatever, it was heartbreaking for us as fans.
Yeah, listen,
you know,
we have
it
to
was
use that
unreal.
As motivation.
But it has to be motivation. And I do think that, like, the attitude around the team now is so boyous. And like, there's something.
The group feel it as well.
Do they? Yeah, the because we're going to ask you that. Yeah,
massively.
Because, like, there was that Czechia game. Stuff was wild for that, like in the build-up, and we just felt like there was something really special happening. Okay, in the end, obviously, you know, it didn't, but those two games, five goals from Troy, like, get us into that position from where we started, you know. Like, as you said, if it's motivation for what can come next time round, you know, when we're hopefully hosting games in the Aviva and, you know, playing against, you know, your top European opposition, it'll be something else. Like.
Exactly, and that's what we have to do. We have to inspire that next generation, which we have been doing. Like you mentioned, those five goals in the two games to get to that scenario, but then ultimately we have to get to the major tournaments. Yeah. That's what we need to make sure we have the next generation.
And you can see what teams can do. I mean, Norway would probably be ranked higher than us, no question about it, but population-wise they're similar. Like, history, we haven't been in the World Cup in 28 years, and there they are, they get to a quarter-final.
Yeah, you have to make sure that cycle, I suppose, when it does come along, that you can sustain it.
Yeah.
And you have to have the steps in place, which we're getting everything in place with the academies, the structures.
You want me to have a word with the under-13 girls coaches tonight?
Exactly.
And that would count us.
Just say they're doing the right things, keep them on the right path.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, John, thanks so much for coming in, and enjoy creating the Football Fan HQ. It's going to be absolutely brilliant, but really appreciate it. Best luck with the Ireland team. We'll stay in touch.
Thanks,
keep
Dave.
An eye on everything. All right, appreciate it, John.
Dave Moore on Today FM.